Hello everyone, welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast, a one-stop solution for all your relationship queries and questions. Here you will find everything from people's stories, experts on panel, and some great knowledge that can help you make love real and perfect. So, let's jump right in. Our today's guest is Jane, and she is a nutritionist, specialist, life coach, and founder of Empower You International. She is one of the most fun persons I've ever talked to, and she is also the most experienced one. Yes, so since she is the oldest of my guests till date, I'm so excited to all the wisdom I will be getting in this conversation, and so will you all. So let's jump into this interesting conversation that starts from decades ago. Hi Jane, how are you doing?
Michelle, you know, I've been through many ups and downs with previous relationships. You know, like with my parents, you know, my mum and dad, you know, when I was younger, they'd split up, you know, and then I ended up repeating the same behaviours that I grew up with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I ended up making relationship mistakes. So, I mean, my relationships sort of stem back from when I was a young girl. When I was growing up, from a very young age, my parents just didn't get on at all, and it was very volatile relationship where, you know, they'd be arguing and they would be fighting like cat and dog, and they, you know, my dad was very aggressive towards my mum. You know, he used to actually beat her up. So I actually saw that as a young girl growing up, up until the age of 5 years of age. My mum then left my dad and left me, my twin sister, my brother, with my father. Now, the reason being why my mum left me, my twin sister, and my brother is because my dad had actually threatened to kill her. So she was absolutely terrified. So she ended up running away from my father with my eldest, one of my eldest sisters, and my brother. And over time, I did get to see her, but not very much from that from the age of 5 years of age up to the age of 13, where, you know, the social services would arrange meetings with her. So it was really difficult time for me growing up in that environment of, you know, my dad wasn't a very loving father, neither. He struggled with his own emotions growing up as a young child because he lived with a very abusive father. So he learned that behavior from his dad. So him growing up in that environment and him seeing that, he learned them behaviours then. So he went on to do exactly the same thing that his father was doing. And seeing that pattern unravel, and then through my relationships, as I started growing up, and I was 16 and a half when I first met my so-called first love. And we didn't we ended up together for 7 years. During that time, I had my daughter, and he was 6 years older than me anyway. And at first, everything seemed to be, go really smoothly, sort of the honeymoon period. And then when we got through that honeymoon period, things started changing, and it became very, very obsessive with me, and his behavior as well. He got very jealous, and he had no reason to be jealous of me because, I'm a very loyal person, and I'm just like a loyal puppy when, in any relationship. Because for me, even though I saw what I saw as a young child, it was really important for me to make strong connections with people. But I think what happened was he picked up on my vulnerability and fed off that. And I hadn't realized that, I'd be living with a narcissist and a control freak during that time. So I know it was hard. It was really difficult times. So when my daughter was a toddler, he where I think where I could see it going and coming from, his behaviors again was from his parents. They had split up. So he yeah. So it was like as if we were like two magnets, but totally opposing. So I was making the same mistakes as my parents made, being in a volatile relationship. And then we'd have a lot of arguments. He was, as I said, he was very controlling. He wouldn't let me go out anywhere. He wouldn't let me see my friends. He would like question me of what I'd been up to during the day, and I was taking care of my daughter. And he'd be like accusing, he'd be like, "Who have you seen today? Where have you been?" And he was very controlling with the money. The only money I got was to buy food for my daughter. I went shopping. I never got anything else. And he got to the point where he'd be like, come home, and he'd be checking around like the doors, and is anybody in hiding in the wardrobe? So it was really bizarre behavior. Yeah, I know, it was crazy. It was crazy. And it got to the point where one day it just got so much, and he'd accused me of seeing somebody, and I was completely innocent. And it was one of his friends did really like me, but I mean, that wasn't my fault. But and it got ridiculous. And in the end, I would just say, I don't know where all these accusations are coming from, because I've never looked at another man before. Where is it coming from? But I think because his own insecurities as well, that's where it was definitely coming from, him growing up in that volatile family background with his parents. And so this particular day, he'd actually come up, he came home, and he was drunk. And most of the time he spent in the pub anyway, so I never really got to see him much. And when he did, he came home drunk. And this particular evening that he came home, he was completely off his head drunk. and he ended up headbutting me. Well, that was the icing on the cake for me. So we ended up having this huge, huge fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up grabbing my daughter and running out of the house with her. And I ran down the street. I don't know where I was going or anything else. I was just so upset. Anyway, he ended up running over to his parents and telling them what he'd done. And his mum came running down the street after me and saying, you know, she was really enraged, saying that, you know, he should never have done that. What the hell was going on? And I said, you know, he's just been so controlling over the years. And it's just getting worse. His behavior's just getting worse.
Yeah. That's beyond words. It's just abuse. It's pure abuse. It's narcissism. It's distress. It's carelessness on their own part. Like, he was spending all his in pubs drinking and coming home drunk almost always.
So yeah, so you can see, like as you were saying, him coming home drunk every single night. Most of the time he'd finish work, he'd go straight to the pub, and then he'd roll in about 11:30, 12 o'clock, midnight.
What?
You know, expecting me to still be awake and waiting up for him. You know, it was just gone beyond a joke. Anyway, coming back to that huge fight that we had,
mm-hmm.
I ended up the next day he went to work and I packed all my belongings
mm-hmm.
and my daughter's belongings. Well, it was just clothes, everything else. Yeah. I left behind.
Okay.
And I went to my friend's house
mm-hmm.
and told her what she knew what he was like anyway. She said, oh my God, she says, stay here.
Mm-hmm.
She says, stay here as long as you need to, Jane. And she'd already moved to a new property anyway, but he didn't know where she was living, which was a bonus for me more than anything.
Yeah.
So I stayed there for a good few months. But in that meantime, I knew that he was looking for me. And he was like asking everybody, where was I? And I didn't want to be found.
Yeah.
And cut a long story short, that we ended up, we did have a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
A few months down the line, and he was trying to get back with me. And okay. I said, listen, I said, a leopard never changes its spots. I said, the way you treated me, you wouldn't treat a dog. So I said, our relationship has ended and we've been together 7 years. And yeah. I said, no more, enough's enough. And I said, you know, you can have access to your daughter, but it will be where, you know, you don't sit in the pub with her. You take her out to different places, things that she can enjoy. So he had access to her for a few weekends, but then I found out from a source that he was actually going to the pub with her and sitting in the pub with her, giving her a bag of crisps and a bottle of Coke and sitting in the pub with her. And I knew she'd been to the pub with him anyway because he could smell cigarette smoke back then, you know, back in the early 90s. So I knew straight away. So I stopped all access from him seeing her because I thought, he's not going to take care of her. And I thought, I don't want her in that environment. So we ended up, like you say, never seeing each other again. And as then years went by, I never felt guilty because I thought, you know what? If he couldn't treat me and my daughter right back then, why would he treat her any different?
Yeah.
Why would he treat? He's not going to change.
Okay.
So I then ended up meeting my husband, and we've been together 28 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
I know. Yeah. So it was amazing, really, how we met, right? Because mm-hmm. this is a happy ending, even though it was tragic at first. Do you know what I mean? It was just a really happy ending. He basically swept me off my feet.
Okay.
So he was a student working in a bar, and me and my friends, two of my best friends, we went to this bar one night, and who should be working in there was mm-hmm. my husband.
Okay.
And I said to my friends, I was like, as soon as I laid eyes on my husband, obviously it wasn't my husband back then, but as soon as I laid eyes on him, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm going to marry this guy. And they was like, what? I said, yeah, I'm going to marry him. And they laughed at me and they said, don't be daft. I said, I'm telling you now, I'm going to marry this man. Anyway, we met on a Sunday. It was actually Halloween night as well. It was a Halloween night.
Mm-hmm.
And we met on the Sunday. And the next day he took me out for a lovely meal. And then day after that, he actually moved in with me.
Wow.
I know. And then wow. 2 weeks, I know, how crazy is that?
Yeah.
How crazy. I mean, dreams do come true. And it was just incredible because 2 weeks later, he asked me to marry him. And I was like, what? I mean, he completely swept me off my feet. You know, and he absolutely adored Hayley. And he came from a very stable family background. His mum and dad are still married. They've been married over 60 years now. 60 years they've been married. So he wow. came from a very stable background.
Yep.
So it was something that, you know, I was always looking for, but never knew whether I'd find it or not. That stability. You know, it was just incredible. And then we lived together for 5 years. We saved up and we wanted to have a big wedding. My dream wedding. So I had a horse and carriage, open horse and carriage. I felt like royalty.
Wow.
On my wedding day. It was beautiful. Sort of a horse and carriage. Mm-hmm. I had four bridesmaids and two page boys. And it was beautiful. Incredible day that I'll never forget. So, you know, we've been together like 28 years this Halloween, this October. And you know, every relationship, you know, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. You know, I'm not saying that every mm-hmm. relationship can be perfect, but I think in order to have that connection with somebody, you need to have a lot of interests, similar things that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like walking, I like nature, so does Richard. He likes photography. I like photography. And we get on like best friends as well. You know, can have a really good laugh together.
Yeah.
And he laughs at me and I laugh at him. You know?
That's incredible.
Honestly, it's just amazing. It really is. You know, he'll laugh at things that, you know, and he'd like some of his quirky things as well, and some of my quirky things mm-hmm. as well. So it is amazing. You know, and I came across a quote today, Nishant, yeah. and I thought it's such a powerful quote, and it was by Mahatma Gandhi, and it's mm-hmm. called, the weak can never forgive, forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. Isn't that amazing? The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. So I was able to forgive not only, you know, my parents with the way they treated each other, but also the way they treated us as well. And, you know, through like my past relationships as well, especially the one with my daughter's father. You know, I had to learn to let go. I had to let go, you know, because otherwise it just eats away at you. Because if you're dwelling on the past constantly and playing that record round it in your head, it's just going to just get a grip of you. And it's like cancer, you know.
It's like you're living the same experience again and again. So you got hurt once in reality, but in your mind you are getting hurt every other second.
Exactly.
And that's what makes trauma. Getting hurt every moment.
Exactly. Absolutely. You know, so even as a young child going through that trauma, seeing my mum and dad the way they were, and then getting re-traumatized again as an adult. So, you know, I was learning the same things from child and took it into adulthood. But the lovely thing about this as well, Nishant, is that my relationship with my daughter is incredible because with the relationship that my husband has with my daughter is incredible as well. And even though he isn't Hayley's biological father, he's treated her with such kindness and compassion right throughout the years. Should I mean, he's always been there for her, and he's always been there for me, and he supports me in everything I do, no matter what. So he's always there to raise me up. You know that song, "You Raise Me Up, That I Can Climb on Mountains"? And that's what he does. And I think every relationship should be like that. But sadly, it isn't always the case.
That's true. You grow by lifting others. That's true. You can never grow by pulling others down.
Exactly.
You might feel that you're better, but no, you aren't. It's just that you have made others worse now.
And you should never put anybody on a pedestal or lower yourself to anybody's standards. Do you know what I mean? Or put yourself down as well.
Yeah.
We should all be equal, on an equal par.
Yeah, I actually, now I understand that. When you put someone on pedestal, you value them a lot more than yourself.
Exactly.
You end up molding yourself to fit their expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. That's what you end up doing.
And that's where the cycle of being dissatisfied, being unhappy starts, because you feel that you're doing it for them, and when they don't acknowledge it as much as you have sacrificed in your own thoughts.
Yeah, because you can put 101% into a relationship, but if that other person's not putting 101% back to you, and it's not on an equal footing, things will start breaking down.
And the most fun thing is, I call it fun, but well, the most intimidating thing over here is that we think we are putting in 110% and they are putting in their 50 or 60%. And what happens is the other person also tends to think the same. The other person also thinks that, okay, I'm putting in 110% and this guy is only putting in 50 to 60%. Because they don't acknowledge the effort the other person need to put in to be the person they are with you. They think it's all natural. It's just that how this person is. But come on, if that's how that person is, then you're not special. And if you're feeling special, it means he's putting in efforts or she's putting in efforts.
Yeah. In over the 28 years that we've been together, he says every day, I love you.
Wow.
Every day he says, I love you. And he's done that for the last 28 years. There's not a day that doesn't go by he doesn't say, I love you, Jane. Yeah.
That's so romantic. That's, as you said, dream come true.
Yeah, it is a dream come true. Yeah. Wow. He's my knight in shining armor.
That's true.
Thanks, Nishant.
Thank you, Jane, for sharing your story and, you know, helping everyone with your wisdom. I'm sure the audience will really appreciate the efforts and the knowledge you have poured in. And I'm sure they'll reach out to you to help balance their emotions as well. EmpowerYouInternational.org.
Yeah, they can reach me on LinkedIn as well or Facebook, through my Facebook page, Empower You International.
Perfect. I'll put the link down in the description as well for saying.
Yeah. So like I say, they can reach me through them, their medias as well. Yeah. And I've got an email account as well, which you sent, which is empoweryouinternational576@gmail.com.
Okay. I'll put them down in the description of this episode. So people are able to reach out.
All right, Nishant. It's been lovely actually chatting to you.
Thank you, Jane. I hope I was able to provide you with a good environment and space to share your stories and those dark days. Because revisiting those days is a pain. I'm not sure if I would be visiting any such place soon.
It can be, but I've got past that pain barrier. You know, I've cried and cried and I've cried through rivers of tears over the years. But I'm in a much, much better place now, and I have compassion in my heart, compassion for myself, and compassion for other people as well that's maybe going through the same similar thing or have experienced. Something similar as well.